Welcome to episode 121 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live April 12, 2019. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. Today, we fill you in on some recent news and announcements around all things storage in Azure, as well as an important update related to the Office 365 sign-in experience.
Coke Zero, breakfast to champions.
Water, come on, Scott, healthy. No.
This is healthy. When you fly a red eye that leaves at 10 p.m., lands at 5 a.m., and then your next flight is until 9 a.m., Coke all the way.
Coke on this Friday while we record.
Plus coffee. You got to get the heart palpitations to go just the right way.
I already had my coffee. Well, I went and cleaned out the van because our old van is officially gone to the junkyard.
But now you can finally buy that monster truck you've always wanted.
I know. I started looking at trucks the other day. I was just curious. I was like, ooh, a truck. And my wife walked in naturally because whenever you're looking at something other than work is whenever your wife walks in and she saw the truck. She's like, no. I was like, but why not? She said no.
Wow. You just got like shot down without even trying.
I got, yes. It was not even a, why are you looking at trucks? It was like, no, that was all she said.
Maybe you need to start small. You just start with like a Jeep or something and work your way into it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like a Matchbox car or a Lego truck.
Well, you already have those and clearly those are acceptable. So you got to take it up a notch.
I have the Lego Porsche. Did I tell you about the Lego Disney castle?
You told me you ordered a Lego Disney castle. Have you become a princess yet?
I have not become a princess yet. I am on like step, well, me and my kids, because this was for the kids. Remember, Lego castles. Legos.
Absolutely. For the kids. Got it. Yep. 4,000 pieces later.
4,000 pieces. We're now 4,000 pieces in. We're on like step, I don't know, 350, 360. I think we are through bag eight or nine. And I think there's 14 bags in the set, but it's been fun. It's an interesting, it is a fun build. But yes, all compliments of Delta. Get bumped on a Delta flight, buy Legos with a gift card.
I don't get bumped. I just get delayed.
And then you don't get gift cards.
As I hop all over the country. Yeah.
Especially when they get snow up north in the middle of April.
Yeah. You know, there's that whole like upper Midwest thing, but it gets me lots of segments. So keeps me going with my mileage requirements.
Good to hear. Opsgility is disrupting cloud training as we know it with their on-demand platform, SkillMeUp. Their new design focuses on a user flow to better support role-based learning paths with these great new features. Real-time, hands-on labs are now included with each subscription to build your skills competence. Hundreds of cloud courses with more added daily to transform your skills for today's cloud-first careers. Role-based learning paths guide you through associated level courses in an easy-to-view layout and tracker. Microsoft Azure and Microsoft 365 certification prep courses and labs to support you leading up to exam day. Learn more and start your free 3-day trial at www.skillmeup.com. So should we actually talk about something relevant to the cloud other than flying? I guess flying is the cloud. Disney, is that cloud related?
Yeah, no, it's sort of cloudy. You know, we're moving at the speed of the clouds.
We could talk about the Falcon Heavy launch yesterday that went up into the clouds. I couldn't see it though.
And then it came back down, all three of them.
All three of them. And they landed all three of them. Two on land, one on, of course, I Still Love You.
Yeah.
That was cool. It was cool to see all three of them land. I did not get to go down there. What?
Now they've just got to do it a second time, a third time, all those kinds of things. Yeah, but you know, being a couple hundred miles away, it's still okay. You can at least see the arcs.
Yeah, you know what? I tried to go out and see it yesterday and I couldn't pick it out. I was at an event with my daughter, so I wasn't at home, which meant I didn't quite know exactly where to look from where I was. And I tried. Neighbors said they saw it, but it was really hard to see. It was almost too clear, because the sky was perfectly clear. There were no cloud trails. There wasn't much of anything to see, and it wasn't dark enough to see the flame. So I was not able to see it. I know others around here did manage to catch a glimpse of it, but oh well. Maybe the next one I can take the family down to Cape Canaveral on a field trip.
Highly recommended. And you should take me down too, once you get that new van.
We should make it a podcast excursion, a podcast family excursion. Cape Canaveral. No, I went and saw the first one a year ago. AC and I went down there for it. So I'd love to go see another one.
Yeah, you're about due for another sunburn.
Yep. I am. All right. So that was related to clouds, but not technology clouds.
Man, you're picky today. Where do we start?
You know what? It's Friday afternoon. We're all over the place.
How about we start with user logins and some changes that are coming?
Yeah. I can log into Office 365 most of the time in Azure. All right. So what's coming to Azure logins? I'm focused.
There's a little bit of behavior change that's coming for federated logins. And they're changing the way that Home Realm Discovery or HRD works in Azure Active Directory. So this will impact every single workload that leverages AAD as an identity provider. So it won't just be Office 365. It'll be the Azure portal, the whole management plane, Intune, Dynamics, and whatever else you have decided to tie into this lovely, lovely cloud-based identity provider that Microsoft has living out there in Azure.
Yeah, this is a big change. Sounds like part of this, though, might be required for the whole password-free login, FIDO2 if you want to use the security keys. Sounds like that's kind of the primary goal or some of the reason behind this Home Realm Discovery update.
There's a couple things. So it's driving towards that better future of things like FIDO keys and having devices that might be able to help you with that. The other thing that happens, and well, let's talk about the changes. So today, Home Realm Discovery in Azure Active Directory, it's really just looking at the domain name portion of a user's UPN. And then if that validates as a federated domain, you're automatically, at that point, you're just a relying party. And you're being pushed over to kind of the authoritative identity provider. So if that's ADFS or Ping Federate or Okta, whatever it happens to be, you're just going to be bounced that way as long as the user has typed their domain name the right way. So that's one of those nifty things about like SSO, you know, like single sign-on doesn't mean you never type your username because you always have to do Home Realm Discovery.
Yep.
So some customers might do like IDP initiated URLs or things like that to get around some of that. And there's a bunch of different ways to go at it. It's pretty like non-discriminate. Like I said, it looks at the domain name that the user typed in. And if that's a federated domain, boop, you just get redirected over to whatever identity provider is associated with that domain name. All well and all good. But there's a couple impacts there. So there's no validation to see if that username is actually valid. So then somebody, you know, if they're being malicious and just trying to log into Office 365, all of that spraying and enumeration for accounts and everything, all of that extra traffic, it's actually coming all the way back to your identity provider because Microsoft is saying like, hey, I'm just looking at a domain name, not an actual username. But now what they're doing and the change they're going to make is when users hit the Microsoft login page, their actual UPN is going to be validated. So it needs to be a valid username in Azure AD. It needs to be not just a valid username, it also needs to be a username that is synchronized with Azure Active Directory Connect. So it's a full-on hybrid thing. It's 100% valid for federation and all that other good kind of stuff. So it's a technical change on the back end that is going to change the behavior for your end users along the way. So it'll give them a little bit better guidance. You know, they'll come in and they'll type like, I'm Scott at Contoso.com. And maybe I mistype Contoso.com. It's going to say like, well, hey, you know, we can't find that domain in our system. Or maybe I type my name wrong and it'll say, hey, we haven't found that user. Or I just type another email address or something else. I'm like, hey, I typed in my Gmail address by accident or whatever it was along the way. So they're going to be able to go ahead and just straight up validate all that stuff all the way through. And you have to teach your users about the Office 3 or the Azure AD login page because they're going to hit it at some point, right? They might be firing up Outlook for the first time on their new laptop from a Starbucks. You just never know like where they're coming in and where they're hitting it from.
Yep.
So you've got to do the branding and teach users about this. So it is going to be a behavioral change for them.
All right. And this looks like it's going to start rolling out for managed domains in May of 2019. So we're recording this in the middle of April, so another couple of weeks or so. But then it says the exact rollout for federated domains depends on customer feedback. I have no idea what that means, but it means it's not coming right away.
There is that distinction, right? If you just validate a name, you do a custom domain in Azure AD, and then you start synchronizing users. Well, that's fine. Now that domain with those synchronized users is a managed domain. So it's going to start there. But the intent is to get it for everything, right? For federated flows and managed flows and everything else. I think part of it's going to be they actually need to make sure that customers who federate are okay with that behavior. Like maybe some were okay of just having everything for a domain sent to them, regardless of what the username was. Some of them might not just be prepared to update their documentation.
Right.
Like, hey, I rolled this out yesterday. What do you mean you're changing it again? Well, you know, we're just we're moving at the speed of the cloud here.
Exactly. So another news article that I thought was kind of interesting that kind of ties into the whole Microsoft 365, Office 365 in a roundabout way is we had the whole Azure threat protection for Office 365, whether it was email, SharePoint, OneDrive, all of those. Microsoft is rolling out this advanced threat protection now for Azure storage. They have a relatively short blog post about this because there isn't a whole lot around it other than just enabling it. But now you can go into your Azure portal and it's just a quick, simple, enable your advanced threat protection for Azure storage. Choose the specific storage account subscriptions you want to apply this to. And then once you have that advanced threat protection enabled for a storage account, you'll start getting security alerts that are triggered when suspicious activity occurs. They'll all show up in the Azure Security Center. They give you details, recommendations, all of that information about, hey, this was that malicious file that was detected in your Azure storage account. They don't have any information on licensing, pricing, any of that. We were laughing earlier because unless they update these links before this podcast episode goes live, you can't rely on the links a whole lot. Some of them
spoiler,
don't rely on the links because like the link to the Azure portal where it's go sign up in the Azure portal and turn it on goes to some internal Microsoft.SharePoint.com page. That doesn't work. Security Center link and the other two seem to be okay. But yeah, there's not a lot of details around this other than, hey, you can go turn it on and it's available.
There's a couple details out there. You just got to dive down the rabbit holes of...
But my links don't work. No.
36 other links that follow it. So it's going to be a feature that's going to be part of Security Center and specifically the Security Center standard tier, which is the paid tier of Security Center. And the way that works with storage accounts today is it looks at your Azure blobs and it is 4 cents for every 10,000 transactions, at least in central US. Like I can make sure that we have a link in there to the pricing calculator or the pricing page for Security Center if anybody is interested in kind of trying to figure out what that cost might look like for them. But if you're already in the Security Center standard, then you might be okay.
You can do it. That whole cost per transaction, those are always hard ones for me to figure out because you don't always know how many transactions you're going to have, how you figure that out. You almost have to just go turn it on and keep a really close eye on it until you get a good ballpark of what your typical transaction usage in a given month might be.
It's either that or you're already running storage accounts today and you'll have that telemetry. So you can go into your existing metrics from just the storage resource providers and be able to divine some of that information if you're already up and running. If you're not already up and running, then you know you might have to equate that maybe just back to IOPS or something else where we can kind of maybe do some fuzzy math and say like, hey, you had X IOPS on-prem in your storage there. Now we're moving this workload to the cloud. Well, that'll equate to requests per second. And then what type of transaction is it? Is it a read, a write, a delete, whatever it happens to be along the way. But it is definitely one of those like fuzzy pricing calculator things.
Yeah, it's all fuzzy cloud stuff. Sorry, I'm distracted.
We got to get you back to your Legos.
I know.
Be okay.
I need my Lego therapy. When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, There are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudIT. Azure Premium Storage Block. Azure Premium Block Blob Storage. I'm going to go on my storage kick here. There were some storage announcements recently. Is now generally available. So this is a new storage tier in your Azure Storage with Blob Storage. So previously we had, I think it was Hot, Cool, and Archive. Now we have Premium, Hot, Cool, and Archive. So this just gives you a faster version, lower latency storage account or storage option in your Azure Blob Storage. So this is available in certain locations, US East, East 2, Central West, West 2, North Europe, West Europe, Japan East, Australia East, North Korea, or Korea Central, Southeast Asia. There's going to be more coming, but again, not a whole lot changes other than pricing, but it's just another layer of storage that you can leverage based on those requirements you may need when you're working with Blob Storage, building applications that leverage Blob Storage to help increase your latency and access times for files or for whatever is stored in that Blob Storage.
Yeah, and just to make that distinction, so this isn't, you know, we've had premium storage for things like virtual machine disks for a while now.
Yep.
This is specifically for things that interact with just the blob service itself. So like a disk is a page blob, and over on this side, we're talking about block blobs and append blobs to have some of that information come through. And just because you mentioned the tiering in there, so the ability to go between Hot, Cool, and Archive, there's no support for tiering from premium to anything else. So once you align into that premium tier today, you're up and running in premium. You're not going to have like lifecycle policies or anything like that associated with those specific objects as they're spun up in that particular storage account.
Yeah, I'm glad you called that out. I was going to mention that it doesn't, there's no automatic moving. They essentially say, hey, if you want to move data from premium to Hot, Cool, or Archive, use AZ Copy, use the API, and then you can actually move the data. But other than that, there's no, let me go adjust this or set up those policies to archive it off after a certain amount of time or after it's not used for a while.
Yeah, if I had to take a guess, that's probably because the storage controllers that run premium storage are different than the regular, like they're different kit, right? Because we're talking like SSD typically versus maybe like spinning Rust or magnetic disk that's sitting out there. So they're just in different parts of the data center and they typically have different redundancy models. Like you don't usually get geo-redundant storage with premium, things like that. It's just going to have limitations while it's coming up, right? So it's not that it doesn't support tiering. It's that when you're in premium, you're actually probably in a different storage controller. And there's literally no such thing as Hot, Cool, or Archive there. That's why you have to do AZ Copy over to another storage account that's configured for all that stuff. And then it's got all sorts of other limitations, right? It doesn't support static websites. It doesn't even support like storage logging the way we think about maybe diagnostics within the storage service today. So, you know, if you need the performance, it might be an option for you, but if you have other maybe like regulatory compliance needs around like audit and logging, it may not be the service for you. You might want to just keep doing what you're doing today.
Yep. And some of that, I don't even know why. I mean, some of it, I can see the benefits of premium storage, but like diagnostic logging, I don't feel like you'd ever really need premium storage for anyways.
Not storing your Diag in premium storage, more like being able to pull Diag from your premium storage account.
Got it. Okay. No, I'm clear.
Yeah, I might want telemetry for like requests per second or something that's coming out of that account so that I can go and figure out some of that IO stuff, right?
Is the
cost that I'm paying for premium storage worth it based on transactional cost or whatever it happens to be along the way for you? There's just all sorts of fun stuff in there. And it's kind of like Security Center or pricing anything else. You can feel like you're getting nickel and dimed if you don't understand the way your workloads actually work. So you do have to put a little bit of that kind of upfront thought process in there.
Yep, absolutely. So should we do our last storage news item. Well, this isn't actually the last storage. There's another one we could tie into storage about the bigger disks.
Bigger disks. Yeah, this has been on the roadmap for a while. This was announced back at Ignite. I think it was at Ignite. I don't know. It all starts to blend together after a while. They announced some time ago in the way back when, we'll call it Ignite because I think it was like 6 or 7 months ago, that they were going to start aligning larger disks specific for virtual machines, specifically to the managed disk offering within Azure. So the way those disks worked is they kind of capped out at the same limits that regular disks did. So 2 terabytes for an OS disk and up to 4 terabytes, 4,095 gigabytes for a data disk. And then they've had kind of preview out there for larger disk sizes. So now you can go up to 8, 16, or 32 terabytes in a single disk. So this opens up all sorts of interesting scenarios, I think, for customers, especially customers who maybe weren't, you're trying to move to the cloud. But if you look at your SAN today and maybe the way you sliced a LUN to present it for a workload, you might have actually presented it in 8 terabyte disk, right? In a single volume. That is a thing that happens. So now you just have so many more options. And then you also get a bunch around IO with this one. You know, when we get into some of these bigger disks, things like IOPS can get a pretty good boost, even just general throughput on the disk, like megs per second that you can go ahead and push through, starts to become a pretty interesting thing.
Yeah, this is nice to see. I like, obviously, always the faster, the better, as people put more and more data up there, different workloads. Being able to support that higher number of IOPS, the faster throughput, can make a big difference to certain applications that may want to live in Azure VMs. So seeing these increases both in size and speed on both those premium SSDs as well as the standard SSDs on these managed disks probably make a big impact for some people.
You are going to pay for the privilege of this one because it is, I want to make sure we're clear, that it is managed disk. So it is in the pay for what you provision tier, not the pay for what you use like unmanaged disk. And it's not a cheap place to be. So you would definitely want to make sure like, this is where I actually need to be. Just as an example, like, you know, like if we pull pricing here in the US, because US tends to be some of the cheapest pricing, like going into like a data center like West US 2, 32 terabyte disk, which is in the premium tier, which is P80, that will run you $3,276.80 a month. So $3,276.80 US per month. To go ahead and see, and that's just the disk, not the virtual machine or things like that.
But you can do standard for cheaper, Scott. For like $2,500, you can do a 32 terabyte standard disk. You can save $1,000.
There's standard SSD, there's standard HDD. Those also go out to these new storage tiers. You're talking a pretty decent amount of money to go ahead and onboard into these. So you would certainly want to make sure that. Yeah.
I'm going to stick to my S4 disks, my 32 gig disks for $1.50 or $10 or yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that happens too when we think about like disks and virtual machines is you can only use these disks with certain tiers or certain VM series. So, you know, you've typically got to be, you know, for the SSD, you need to be in something with an S in the series name. But then once we get into like premium SSD and premium managed, then it's you specifically have to be in a DS, you have to be in FS, GS, things like that to make them work. And then because it's premium, it's different storage controllers, you don't get GRS or any of that good stuff. Good stuff along the way.
Yeah, and this is available now. I think it was all the US. I can't remember. Support for US government, China will be available in the coming months. So yeah, if you're in any of those, as typical, keep waiting. But if you're in the generally available public Azure environments, all of these are available for you.
Yeah. They're out there and kicking around. If you do want to onboard into this, it is possible to resize your disks as well using things like PowerShell or the CLI. That is a possibility as well if you're looking to maybe grow a volume because you're looking for the additional IO or whatever it happens to be.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info.
All right, complete side note, way off topic. Power Apps and Flow is actually available in the Office 365 U.S. government tenants now.
Yes, it is.
All right, that's all.
Congratulations.
I got it now that my projects are done that I was wanting it for. Huh, next time. Anyways, moving on. That was all I had about that. Sorry if you were listening for that on the podcast and missed it since it was in the middle of a bunch of Azure stuff, but there is the announcement. AZ Copy Preview now supports more than just Azure. This is like Azure news, but not really.
So this is super cool. So they're adding a capability to AZ Copy, which is a tool specifically for working with storage accounts. Like typically you'll use it a lot when you're doing kind of those bulk moves of blobs around. Maybe you're uploading a VHD from on-prem. Like when we're doing these network-based transfers into storage and into Azure storage accounts. So usually that's transferring from an on-prem location, or maybe like even, you know, you stand up a VM in Azure and then you copy from storage to storage or things like that. So they've added S3 buckets. So AWS Simple Storage Service, S3, as a source for targeted copies into Azure blob containers, which is super cool. So that's really neat and that's nifty. And the even cooler thing about the way they did this is it doesn't actually have to copy to your local client. So it's going to go cloud to cloud directly, effectively, you know, just have the storage service reach out and pull that information in for you.
You kind of get the feeling they want people to migrate out of S3 into Azure storage with this update.
They would like many, many people to come off AWS if they could.
Yeah, I'm guessing it doesn't work the other way where you can use Azure as a source and AWS as a destination. It looks like it is only using S3 as a source.
Correct. But because it is AZ Copy, it doesn't just need to be blob storage that it lands in. So AZ Copy supports things like maybe moving, like say you had like a large unstructured data set and you wanted to move that over into Data Lake, get it into ADL or something like that, you can absolutely get that up and running as well. So when we think about the source will always be S3 for this one particular capability, and the target it could be anything potentially that AZ Copy supports.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like it says if you can do files or what granularity you can get to. Whenever they talk about it, it's doing the entire S3 bucket or multiple S3 buckets. So I don't know, like, do you know if you tried to copy a file or a folder or tried to do a little bit more granular copy, if that would work, or if it's going to be limited just to that kind of that container level?
Your source can be an individual object within a bucket, or it can be an entire
bucket,
an entire directory over there. Yeah. Just go ahead and have it do a recursive lookup through it. So AZ Copy is pretty flexible when it comes to things like that.
Yep. And all the documentation around it is up in documentation, examples, all of that is up in GitHub that we can put a link to. And this was, if you keep track of version numbers, it was V10 of AZ Copy is when they started including the S3 as a source.
Yep. They've done a pretty good job with the documentation. And I'll make sure that we have a link in there to the page that shows you how to copy individual objects. So like point at a singular S3 bucket and then maybe an object that sits within it, regardless of if it's in a bunch of virtual directories or kind of subpaths underneath it. There are even ways, depending on how you've configured like your AWS authentication, like your IAM to that S3 bucket, it's possible to just say like, hey, point it at an S3 storage account or an S3 account and have it just copy all the buckets out of it. It's pretty robust the way they built it out. And for those that aren't familiar with AZ Copy, like if you've ever used like maybe RoboCopy or a tool like that, it's effectively like RoboCopy, but for Azure storage. So supports all the fun things like journaling, retries, being able to control throttles, all that fun kind of stuff.
Perfect. Sounds good. Well, that should we wrap it up for the day, or was there additional news you wanted to mention?
No, I think that does it for today. All, right. All things storage.
Yes.
Other than something with Power Apps and Flow.
Yeah, just that random tidbit in the middle. And vans and rockets and flights and red eyes. So go take a nap, get some sleep, enjoy your weekend.
All right.
And we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.